Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, we've actually made it. Today is the day. It's Thursday, October 4th, live from RFA Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, getting ready for Called to Worship tonight. And if you didn't go get your tickets yet, that's all right. You can still come. We're not going to like check your ticket at the front door and say, oh, sorry, you don't have a ticket. You can't get in. We want you to be here. So if you're here in the Raleigh, North Carolina, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, if you want to get here, you still got a couple hours. It's just 4 p.m. Eastern time. We will kick it off live at 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight for Called to Worship. Matt Papa's band is in there getting set up, and the venue is awesome. It's a really cool venue. Great lighting, great screens, great seating. It's a really cool place, a really great church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And one of the things we're going to be doing tonight, well, besides praise and worship, which we'll do together, and one of the greatest things about Called to Worship is usually we're separated, right? We're separated when it comes to the radio. I'm in the studio. Well, today I'm at RFA, but I'm in the studio and you're wherever you're at. And very rarely do we get to come together in the same like physical space. So one of the cool things about Called to Worship is that we get to do that. And that's going to happen tonight. There's a lot of people I'll see there tonight that I don't see for 12 months. And then all of a sudden we come together to worship the Lord together and to hear a great word from the Lord and hear a great testimony and to praise and lift up his name together. And man, it's just such an awesome event. It's an awesome experience. It's not like church. It's not like your typical kind of things that happen, fundraisers and stuff like that. You're all sitting around eating chicken. It's not like that. So it's really a great night. And one of the things that's going to make it a great night is my friend that's sitting right across the table from me today. And I've mentioned Caleb's been on the show before, Caleb Kaltenbach. And the name of the book is Messy Grace, How a Pastor with Gay Parents Learned to Love Others Without Sacrificing Conviction. I talk about it often. And Caleb was with me at my ethics class this afternoon that I teach to high school age homeschoolers. That tension between truth and grace. How do we speak the truth, stand on the truth, explain the truth of God, yet love people, meet them where they're at, and do it with grace and compassion and mercy? How do you hold to the truth and not be a jerk? I mean, if I'm going to reduce it, and an amazing story himself. Caleb, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
It's great. I think this is my third time being on here, second time, and I love it. It's great. Third time on the radio with you, second time being on the show.
And it's funny because you live in California.
I do.
I live here in Raleigh, North Carolina. But the only time we do radio, we're actually together.
Yes.
We haven't done it over the phone yet.
No, it's unique. It's unique. I can honestly say I don't have that experience with anyone else.
Yeah, because you're almost always just calling in, right?
Yep.
That's kind of the norm in radio land, and I appreciate that. I mean, that's usually what you have to do. But God opens these doors, and I'm just thrilled to have you here today. Not just to hang out, and you were hanging out with us last night at our house, but to share and see what the Lord will do tonight. So why don't you share with people, for people that aren't familiar with Messy Grace and aren't familiar with your background, I know we're going to keep pulling this out of you time after time, but kind of where did Caleb come from and what led to writing this book, Messy Grace?
Well, I came from the land of the Kansas City Chiefs that are now 4-0. Just want to let everybody know that.
Just to make sure we all understand.
Yeah, just to make sure we all love the Chiefs. They're now 4-0, but that we'll get to the important things. No, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, and Columbia, Missouri, and my parents are both professors. When I was two, they divorced. They both went into same-sex relationships, and so I was raised in the LGBTQ community by my mom and her partner, and my dad never had a partner. He had many friends, but, I mean, pretty much that was my childhood. I mean, that was my experience. That was my reality, and my mom and her partner were activists. My dad was kind of one in his own way, more quiet about it, but really, honestly, I was taught at a young age that Christians are the enemy, that if you don't like them, they won't like you. And it was really from the treatment that my mom and her partner and my dad had experienced and other people had experienced, especially back in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and you remember those days, and things were very rough, and there was hardly any kind of empathy or thinking through things or even conversations or discussions.
And a total rejection of the gay lifestyle, the homosexual community. We just weren't down with that at all. This is pre-gay marriage and all of that.
No, we weren't down with that at all. And it was easier to, as it always is with us, we're fallen people, it's easier to push people aside than to get to know them. And so I saw that demonstrated through signs that Christians would hold up, things they would do to my parents, watching my mom and her partner's friends, male friends die in the 1980s from AIDS and seeing how their Christian families treated them. And so by the time I got to high school, I hated Christians, but I ended up joining a Bible study and I became a Christian. And later,
why did you join a Bible study though?
To disprove it, because I thought these people are insane. They're crazy. My plan was to join the Bible study to find out more about Christianity and then to dismantle their faith. And then I'd just move on to the next Bible study. And I'd take out all the Missouri Bible studies.
Yeah. Was it kind of like a getting even thing?
Yes, absolutely. I believed in God. There's never been a time when I didn't believe in God, but I didn't believe in Jesus because the way that people treated my mom, I couldn't imagine that Jesus was worth believing in. Mm-hmm. Because if Christians responded this way to her, then how bad must Jesus be? And so I really wanted nothing to do with it, and my way of getting even was to make people see that they were following a very hateful philosophy of life, if you want to call it that, a religion.
Yeah, and I assume at the time you didn't really think, well, I wonder if all Christians are like this. Surely there's some nice Christians out there.
No. I mean, to me, it was all categorized. Like, my dad took me to a church. Oh, we never talked about the gospel. We went every now and then whenever he felt guilty about something. But honestly, we never talked about Jesus or the good news or anything. It was always social issues. So for me, I didn't even think of them as Christians. Christian, to me, were people who were arrogant, bigoted. If you were not like them, they definitely wouldn't like you.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jesus, I saw, was different in the Bible, that people who weren't anything like him liked him, and he liked them back. And so it was kind of the opposite of what my mom would tell me. And I was like, man, I can get on board with Jesus. Now, Christians are...
Yeah, that's another thing.
Weird. Well, I mean, I think you'd agree with me. They're still weird.
Christians, we can be kind of weird.
Well, we you know, you and I are Christians. We is weird.
Yeah, so we is. I would agree with that.
We is. So anyway, that, and I became a Christian. Then I had to come out as a Christian to my three gay parents.
So how did that go?
Well, if you can imagine how a gay, lesbian, or same-sex attracted teenager feels coming out to their conservative Christian parents, I was...
Which, by the way, I can't.
Yeah, you can't.
I can't imagine how that would feel.
Right, but you can imagine empathetically that it would feel like...
Oh.
You know, tremendously stressful.
Unbelievable.
So I was a 16-year-old coming out as a Christian who to my three gay parents. And not only that, a Christian...
And that was your mom and her partner, Vera.
Yes, and
then
my
dad. But you were living mostly with your mom and Vera.
I was living both, kind of going back and forth. So, I mean, for me, I not only had to tell them that I was Christian, but that I was the kind of Christian they didn't like, and that I wanted to be a pastor, and that I had changed my view on sexual intimacy to what I believe now, that God designed sexual intimacy for the expression of marriage between a man and a woman.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back talking to Caleb Kalten back. Called to Worship live tonight. We'll be right back. That's a little Maroon 5 here on the Steve Noble Show. They will not be at RFA Church tonight. Maroon 5 will not be here. Sorry, Caleb. Caleb Kaltenbach came all the way in from California to share his testimony and talk about Messy Grace.
No,
and
I came for Maroon 5.
And you came for Maroon 5, and sorry, bro.
Well, what about you too?
No, they last minute, something happened.
Happened, yeah.
Yeah.
Rat.
Sorry. Anyway, but Matt Pop will be here, who you've never even met.
Yay.
But you're going to love him. He's got red hair, like me. So
I don't know what that feels like.
You don't, because if you're not watching on Facebook Live right now, Caleb is not follically blessed. Shall we say it that way? But you do look like...
Yeah, I could be a James Bond villain.
Yeah, you could be a James Bond villain, but, well, you love Jesus.
I do. I love Jesus.
And you've been a pastor a long time.
Yeah.
And a Christian author and a Christian speaker.
And I'm eye candy.
And eye candy, right. And he does look like somebody that just came out of a James Bond movie, but that's not why he's here. He's here as part of Call to Worship tonight. So if you're in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, even if you're like listening on Truth Radio and you're over towards Greensboro, High Point, you can still get here 7 p.m. tonight. It's 4:20 Eastern time right now. Doors open at 6:30. We'll kick off right at 7 p.m. Matt Papa, and you'll probably hear some Matt Papa music on the show before it's over today, is doing our praise and worship. But in between that, I do a really short update on what's going on with the radio ministry. Caleb's going to share his story, and he's got some great teaching for us. He spoke earlier today in my ethics class, and the kids were just glued. Did you notice that? They were just dialed in to what you were talking about today. It was so cool to watch that. And they laughed at your jokes, and I didn't even tell them to do that. That was an extra credit. They weren't getting graded. They just laughed.
That's because I'm funny.
That's because you're funny. That's exactly right. And so Caleb will be sharing tonight. And then another thing on stage, an onstage interview with a gal that is coming over from another part of North Carolina. She was the manager of a Planned Parenthood clinic for a little over a year. And she went to work there. She was a Christian. And so we're going to talk about messy grace. We're going to talk about that. I'll deal with the folks that are here tonight, make sure that they're not wagging their finger at her. But a really powerful look at the inside operation of a Planned Parenthood. And then Justin Reeder with Love Life, who's a great pro-life leader. And actually, the Power of Christian Radio, who you're going to meet tonight, she called into the show that's right on before mine, which is Dr. Michael Brown. And she was wondering, I'm thinking, if I'm not even going to go to heaven now because I work at Planned Parenthood. And they led her out of that. They got her connected with some different ministries. That's how she got connected with Love Life. And now she's starting to speak out for the cause of life. It's just an incredible story. So we'll do an onstage interview with her. And then, of course, we'll have a short period later where we're going to be asking folks that are there to support us financially. I mentioned this the other day on the air. When you're doing Christian radio, I'm not getting paid to do this. We're paying to do this. We buy airtime because we believe that the message of the gospel and God's truth is worth it. That's a worthy investment. So we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But if you're in the area, you can still come. Even if you haven't gotten tickets, if you want to go get your tickets and register, that's fine. They're free, but you don't have to have them to come here. But the information, just go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com, or you can go to my Facebook page and find it there. But talking to Caleb about his background, and so, because raised by your mom is gay and her partner. And then your dad, they divorced when you were two. Is that right? Mm-hmm. You were 2 years old. Yep. And so you become a born-again Christian. You infiltrate a small group Bible study. They happen to be some really authentic, loving, solid Christians.
Yep. And Jesus infiltrated my heart.
Yeah. And then the next thing you know, now you got to come out to your parents, not as gay, but as Christian. Mm-hmm. And not only that, you want to be a pastor. So how did that go?
It didn't go well. They disowned me. They kicked me out for a while. And I had to stay with different friends at their houses, at the church I was attending at the time. And I would get home from school, and I would open up the Bible, and I would read about it, because I felt like I just had so much that I didn't understand, and I wanted to catch up on. And I learned that a relationship with Jesus, it gives us the margin to love people who are unlovable and forgive the things that were done to us that are hard to forgive. And so I love that. And I also learned that the same fear that my parents and Vera did not want to get from other people that disagreed with their life choices and their relationship choices, they were giving to me. You know, because I think that, we fear naturally whatever it is we don't understand.
Sure.
Or makes us feel out of control, whether it's a circumstance, a person, or a group. And I think Yoda said it best.
Oh, wow.
My favorite Christian philosopher.
Excellent. Yeah, good job. Go.
The Christian philosopher, Yoda. He said that fear is a path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering. Fear gives us permission to do horrible things for people. So I think it's important for us during the times when we feel fear, we need to see it as a reminder to lean into our faith.
Yeah, what a great point.
So
Now I'm going to go back in time a little bit, because you were essentially raised in the gay community. Mm-hmm. And what were they like?
They were great people. They were very nice, kind, nicer than some Christians I know. They were very much like Christians. There's a lot of similarities if you think about it. When you think about evangelical conservative Christian community and the LGBTQ plus community, both have their own books, both have their own groups, both have their own nonprofits to try to promote their cause. Both are passionate about letting people know about their cause.
Wow.
Both have a need and an emphasis on grace and empathy and acceptance, maybe not for others, but for those in their community. We can just go on and on. They have their own comedians, their own music.
Yeah, total subculture.
And so,
just like evangelical Christianity is now a subculture.
Yeah, and so it's funny. I was raised in one subculture. Now I'm in another subculture.
Traded camps.
And so I think that if both are subcultures, I think that there are definitely some bridges that can be built there.
Yeah.
And these bridges are important, but we will never get there if we're fearful, because fear keeps us from empathy.
Yeah.
And empathy, according to Brené Brown, is to feel with another person. Or as Reggie Joyner from Orange says, empathy is the ability to put your own thoughts and feelings on pause long enough to think and feel with another person.
And isn't it interesting, you go back 20 or 30 years, and as a born-again Christian, you might have felt like you fit into this culture, this society in America. But now you don't.
No.
30 years ago, your average homosexual felt like an outsider in this culture, this society. But now, not as much. So it's interesting how we've kind of traded places.
But it's weird because
but we should be able to feel for one another because of that.
Yeah,
I think.
Interesting aspect. Every human is born with the concept, with the ability to be empathetic.
Yeah.
But I think about it, society's like that. Society's always shifting and moving. That's why our relationship with God is so important and placing our identity in Jesus, because God never changes. And think about marriage. Hollywood promoted like the perfect family, Leave It to Beaver.
Sure.
Which ignored all the single parent families, Asian American families, you know, abuse that was going on.
It.
And now they swung the pendulum all the way over to the other side, where it's like anybody can be a family.
Yeah, yeah, anybody can be a family. You name it, whatever, you do whatever you want. Did you, as a young man growing up in the gay community, how did you kind of process the sexuality of it? There's men with men, there's women with women, and then outside of that community, you see men and women. And was it all just kind of? It's all just same different things on the same shelf, or how did you kind of think about that, the sexuality of it?
A couple things. One, I knew that I was different. So when I was at school, I never told anybody that my mom or dad, or I had my suspicions about my dad. I didn't know till later on, but I never told them that I thought that my dad was gay or that my mom is gay, because I heard the things that they talked about and what they laughed about. But to me, it was just my reality.
Did you just tell them I live with my mom?
Yeah. Pretty much.
And just stay away from it.
Yeah, and I was never same-sex attracted, never had that feeling.
Yeah, and so what did you think of that? Did you think that, my point is, are you sitting there going, I'm abnormal and they're normal, or I'm normal and they're abnormal?
I just thought I was different.
You're just different. We're going to talk about Messy Grace, why that title, and how do we engage people that see the world very differently from us, and didn't Jesus do that all the time? How did he do it, and how are we supposed to do it? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from RFA Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. That is the site of tonight's Call to Worship, our fifth annual, and we do that as a way to come together, to worship the Lord together, have that unity, because usually as a radio family, and on Facebook Live, it's a little different, but even then, it's disconnected, because there's people on Facebook Live right now that are watching me, but I can't look at them. I can see their little icon, but that's not a regular two-way relationship, not a normal one. And then most of you listening on radio, you just hear me. I can't hear you unless you call in one day when we do calls, which isn't every day. So once a year when we do Call to Worship, and again, this is kind of a inside baseball for you and I in this radio world that God has created on this particular show, to come together and to worship the Lord together in spirit and truth. You're going to have a lot of different, if there's 350 people there tonight, you're probably going to have 35 different churches represented and people, you know, with some variety on the theological map. And we all come together tonight to celebrate what God is doing in general, what he's doing in this radio show ministry, and to listen to some great praise and worship music with Matt Papa. And then we'll hear from Caleb Kaltenbach, who we're spending our time with on the show today, a pastor, the author of Messy Grace, which has shown up all over the place, and churches getting involved with this, and Jack Graham, who's a big deal in the Southern Baptist world. Messy Grace is pure truth spoken in love and will help you relate to every person in a way that pleases God. We're going to talk about the word love here in a minute with Caleb. But you can join us tonight, and yes, we are going to be asking people to partner with us financially. We have to pay for the airtime that you're hopefully being blessed by right now and the other days of the week as we're on the radio 5 days a week. So we need your support. We need your financial help. I'll be talking about that more in the next couple of weeks as we try to make sure we're in a good position for the end of the year and going into 2019. But tonight's just an awesome time. That the number one thing I hear, and you'll probably come out of this tonight as well, Caleb, with the same thing. But people will say, I've never experienced anything like that. Because you have testimony, you have this interaction, which we're not used to. Most church services are monologue. Then you have the praise and worship, and it kind of dances back and forth as the Holy Spirit moves about. And it's really just an incredible experience. I don't use that word lightly, experience, because it is. But I don't want you to miss it. I want you to be blessed by it. And so you can still get here tonight from 7 to 9 p.m., RFA Church in Raleigh. You can go to the website and find that information there, thestevenobleshow.com, or you can jump right on Facebook and find it on both my personal page and on the radio page. The radio page is just The Steve Noble Show under Facebook. And you can join us and then come hear more from Caleb tonight. You know, and of course, the title of your book, Messy Grace, Isn't life as a Christian and living in this world just messy, period? And we're thinking it shouldn't be, or that we should be able to clean it up and that it's kind of nice and orderly and tidy. That's not even possible, and Jesus never even told us that. He said we were going to have trouble. So why this title, Messy Grace, as you came out to your parents as a young man, you get saved, both your mom and your dad are gay, and now you're coming out and joining the opposition team. What does messy grace mean to you?
Well, it's the fact that I think that everyone is messy. Even people who are saved, we're just messy saved people, messy saints.
Yeah.
But I think that God's grace is perfect. But I think that when God's grace intersects with our messy lives, it looks like messy grace. I mean, you just have to read the end of Jonah, the last chapter, and see how he responds there. And some of the times, grace feels messy when we deal with it, you know? And really, a third of the book is my story. A third is our Bible passages or stories about Jesus and how we see messy grace there. But then another third are principles that we can take away. And I think stories are important. And I think that's one of the reasons why tonight, your event tonight, Steve, is going to be so important, because not only do you have a different experience for people, where people who aren't used to worshiping together come together and worship, and that's exciting, but also you have testimonies and stories, and people love stories.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus knew that. I mean, he used parables all the time because he knew that people related with stories. So I think that's part of what makes tonight very powerful besides your ministry. And I think that that's what, you know, makes what we all can relate with. We all can relate with a story because all of us have stories.
Yeah. So how did you walk through? Now you're getting access to the truth. You're learning about God's word. You're coming to an understanding that this particular part of your mom's life, your dad's life, the homosexual part of it all, that's sinful. That's not part of God's plan for sexual ethics. But yet they're your parents, and you want to have a relationship, and you want to be able to share Christ with them. How did you kind of walk your way through that?
Not well at first. Tried to sit down with my mom and Vera and explain the Bible to them, and that didn't go over well because I knew jack squat about the Bible. I hardly knew anything.
Wow.
And then my mom and Vera had, you know, read through probably most of it, not all of it, but most of it. And, you know, they started quizzing me, and they're like, do you believe a literal seven-headed dragon is going to come out of the Mediterranean Sea? And I didn't know what to believe, so I just said, yeah. You know, I didn't understand apocalyptic literature or genres.
Yeah.
Or interpretive methods, and they just laughed at me, and I just thought, man, that didn't go well. And so I stopped trying to share, because I already knew what I believed. I stopped trying to share with my words, but I said, okay, let me focus on how I treat them. You know, because when you see, because both are important, and words some of the times are easier for us to say.
Yeah.
It's harder to treat people well, and yet that's what Jesus calls us to do when you read Matthew 5. 38 through 48, Romans 12, 9 through 18, Luke 6, 35 through 36, over and over again, we're supposed to be at peace with one another. That depends on us. We're supposed to love other people. Romans 2, 4, if you know, it says that God's kindness has led us to repentance. How much more should our kindness
lead
other
people to God? Which is so
powerful.
God? Yeah, yes. God's kindness leads us to repentance. It's like, hey, man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. So me being angry at everybody is not going to make them righteous. It doesn't bring about God's righteousness. It's his kindness. It's me. The gospel is, once you figure out just how separated from God you are, just once you figure out just how bad you are, that God would still love you, that he'd still die on the cross for you. I mean, like, for me, Lord, have you seen my resume? And get this, Caleb, I've been big on this in the last about 2 months. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? That's nice. We know that one. That sounds good. I break that down now into my 26th wedding anniversary is coming up on October 17th. What if I showed up at that altar on October 17th, 1992, and I handed Gina, who you met my wife last night, I handed Gina about a 89-page book. And in that 89-page book was a list of 45,000 individual sins that I would commit against her. That's an average of 5 a day. In my first 26 years of marriage. Honey, here's my 45,000 sins that I will commit against you. Many of them you won't even know I'm committing. And that's just 5 a day, which I think is probably light. But here's the 45,000. And I give that to her before we take our vows. I go, will you still marry me? Who do you think would do that? Oh, sure. And then you start reading through it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and this, and you're going to think this, and you're going to say that. And that's why we're yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
And that's just the sin I'm committing against my wife. Because that kindness of God, that gospel, that love is what overpowers the loss.
It overpowers, and it reminds me of A.W. Tozer's quote that we talked about last night, that Jesus Christ has seen you at your worst, and yet he still loves you.
Man.
I mean, he knows the things that when we put our heads on the pillows at nighttime.
Yeah.
And that the one, two, maybe a few things that we've done where we're like, I hope those skeletons never make their way out of the closet.
Yeah, don't put me in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, it's like God knows, and he loves you. And he allows us to face the consequences so that we can have our faith and character refined and built. But it doesn't mean that he leaves us. He's there with us, and he endures our consequences with us.
So how do we love the homosexual in our life, the liberal in our life, the Planned Parenthood supporter in our life, the people that don't see the world the same way that we do as Christians? It's ugly. They infuriate us. We think it's sick. It's sinful. Because that's who Jesus went to those people. We tend to not go to them.
Like a Raiders fan.
Yeah, like a Raiders fan. Exactly.
Yeah, how do we love the Raiders? Yeah. No, I think that we couple different things.
Can tell Caleb's from California, by the way, but originally from Missouri, which is why he likes the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. I would say two things.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? So there you go.
Well, there you go. Christ died for us before we were even born. Here's what I'd say, a couple things, and I'll name them, and then we can talk about them. Number one, I think that if we want to be able to have the grace to love anyone, to believe that love has no exception clause and live it out, we need to do two things. One is to realize that there's a difference between acceptance and approval. And the second one is that we need to think deeper about people, but not differently about our theology. Mm.
That's so powerful. What do you mean by that? Think more deeply about people.
Well, because
say that again.
We need to think deeper about people, not differently about our theology.
Okay. All right.
And the reason why we need to think deeper about people is that everybody is really an amalgam of their upbringing, their failures, their successes, their victories, their joys, their relationships, their jobs, their hopes, their crushed dreams. I mean, just we all are just a mixture, and we're always changing. We're not the same people that we were 10 years ago. We're similar, but kind of carbon copy. And so we're always changing, and there's nobody who's shallow. And when we label people or say those people or them or they,
right,
what we're really doing is we're really pushing them to the side. And, you know, James warns us in James 3, 1 through 12. He says, be careful about judging people who are made in the image of God, even unbelievers. And doing that, you are mistreating someone that Jesus died for.
Yeah, and that's very, very dangerous. So we're going to talk about, we'll finish up the show today, talking about the role of love. What should we be known for? How should we come across? How do we reach the people that we seem are unreachable or just live in different lifestyles, believe different things that are difficult for us in the role of love? Live from RFA Church. I hope you'll be here tonight for Call to Worship. We'll be right back.
All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies.
Name that tune, Caleb Kaltenbach. Caleb Kaltenbach is here with me. He's a pastor. He's an author. Messy Grace. He's our one of our main speakers tonight at Call to Worship here at RFA Church in Raleigh. So I hope you'll get here, and I really want you to be here. I really want you to be blessed. I want to see you personally. I want to shake your hand, give you a hug, whatever, because we're part of the same body of Christ, and that's just a great opportunity for us to come together when we normally don't do that, as well as asking for your support to help the ministry. But RFA Church tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. By the way, we'll also be putting the whole thing on Facebook Live tonight. We've never done that before, but they have the technology to do it here at RFA. They've got three different camera angles, so you can watch on Facebook Live tonight, no matter where you're at, and be a part of what God is going to do here. And Caleb is sharing his story and talking about messy grace. There's something he's going to do tonight around this subject of how do we engage the culture. There's grace. There's truth. We've talked about that. I talk about that ad nauseum on the show these days. And you guys remember this because I'll say, if you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. If you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward. John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus was full of both grace and truth. And Caleb does a visual explanation of that and where we need to go and how love comes out of that with a rubber band. But that's all I'm going to tell you. You have to be here or you have to watch it tonight to see how that works. That's one of the greatest and simplest examples I've ever seen of this. And God allowed you down this road, Caleb, because he knew he could trust you with it. And then you become a steward of what you've learned. And That's why I think Messy Grace has been such a successful book, because you've been a good steward of what God has allowed you to go through and what you've learned. And I just want to thank you publicly for taking the time to do it, and for your love for the lost and your love for the Lord, and your willingness to kind of wade into this messy context and topic, as we talk about, in this case, homosexuality. But this could be used, I think it can be used in politics. It can be used if you have a wayward son or daughter. There's some prodigal thing there, and they believe one thing, and you're like, that's not how I raised you, all that stuff. Messy Grace speaks into all of that. So whether you can be here or not, definitely make sure you get yourself a copy of this, Messy Grace by Caleb Kaltenbach. That's Kaltenbach. But if you just Google Messy Grace, you'll find it. We did it as a small group study in our small group at our church, and fruit just continues to fall off this book. Have you been shocked by how successful this has been?
Yeah, and not just that, it keeps on being successful over time, and I think part of that is because it's a different perspective.
Yeah.
And different people have perspectives, like Rosario Butterfield, Jackie Hill Perry, Wesley Hill, and their books are doing well too. And I think these books will do well as long as this is a hot topic, which is for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. So Caleb is with us here tonight. And so what made the difference in your relationship? Your mom and her partner, Vera, your dad, who you really weren't sure that he kind of came out of the closet later, so to speak. But what made the difference in your relationship? Because if you fast forward, they both moved to Texas. Vera unfortunately died. It was cancer?
Yeah.
Your mom's partner. So your mom and your dad both moved to Dallas, Texas, where Caleb was on staff at a church and with the kids there. And they started going to church. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge leap, but it didn't happen in a couple of years.
No, it didn't.
So what
happen.
Are the main players in this story in terms of repairing that relationship? And a messy grace story where they come so far as to, well, I think your mom now would make a profession of faith. I'm not sure about your dad, but.
No, yeah, my dad still would.
Yeah, that incredible. So yeah. What are the elements of that? What changed that? Obviously, God was in it, but what did he use? What happened?
I think, one, I remembered how the people on the street corners made me feel. And Maya Angelou, and I'm paraphrasing this, said that people will not remember everything that you say, but they will remember how you made them feel.
So important.
More or less, that's what she said. And so for me, that became extremely important, that I became a safe person for them to be around. And so I really worked on treating them well and not beating them over the head with Bible verses, because I already knew what I believed. I wanted my walk to be my witness in that sense. And I had shared with them, but I still wanted that. And so then the second thing that made a difference was they started attending the church I was preaching at in Dallas, and people treated them well there. And myself and the team there had really worked hard to create an environment where you can belong before you believe. Mm. And when I say belong,
that's
I mean
so good.
That we create space for them within the church.
Yeah.
Or maybe another way would be to say this, belong before you believe, or belong before you agree. Mm. Belong before, even if you don't agree.
Yeah.
And so when they went there,
that's right. You have to maintain a relationship. We've been talking about this for the last 24 hours so that you can maintain some influence.
Yeah.
Because you love them and you want them to come into the knowledge
Absolutely,
of the
because
truth.
Because you're fighting for influence.
Right, right.
That's what you're doing. You're fighting for influence.
Amen.
Especially if you're a parent. You're fighting for influence.
Yeah.
And if you don't try to do whatever you can to earn influence in your kids' lives, because influence is – lasting influence is earned. It's not given.
Right.
And so in that sense – you know, you're fighting for it because you want to be the person that they turn to.
Did your church know? Did you give them the what for? My parents are coming. They're both gay. So go out of
well,
your way to be nice to them.
On my sermon where I tried out, where they had selected me as the final candidate, I basically gave my testimony. Mm. So everybody knew.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
knew.
And then new people came, and I had done it again one other time before my parents moved there. But and so, I mean, I'm just like, if you're going to hire me, just so you know, this is who I am. And so they came, and people treated them well. And whereas influence, lasting influence is earned, I think belonging, it's a gift we give to people.
Yeah.
And so the people in our church gave it. When I say belong, I don't mean belong to God. We can't make someone belong to God, but we can make room for people to engage.
We can bring them into our fellowship.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the scriptures talk about some people will come into the fellowship for the express purpose of destroying and dividing. We're not talking about that.
No. We're talking about, I mean, even in the early church, there were unbelievers and unchurched people and the crowds. I mean, in 1 Corinthians 14, when the Apostle Paul gives instructions on speaking in tongues, he says, do not do this in public service, because if an unbeliever is in your midst, will they not think you're out of your mind?
Yeah,
so even there, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says you need to have an intentionality during your public services to know who's there and who's not.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say belonging is belonging to community, and belonging precedes belonging. I think belonging to a community makes it easier for people to see God, so they belong to Jesus, and they belong in a relationship with the Father.
Amen. We're talking to Caleb Kaltenbach, the author of Messy Grace, a pastor as well. How a pastor with gay parents learned to love others without sacrificing conviction. He's going to be sharing some more of his story tonight at Call to Worship, and then he's going to something that really shows you messy grace and truth and grace and the tension that goes on there. And what love, how does love factor into all of that? Caleb does this thing. He did it earlier today in our in my Christian ethics class with my students with a rubber band. And it was so powerful. And I know when I go back and I see those students next week, I'm going to ask them about the rubber band thing. And they're going to get it. And I'm going to start carrying a rubber band with me all over the place, because it's such an effective tool to understand that that's just the way, that's just the deal. That's life. It's going to be tense. That messy grace is required because we live in a messy world. And do you have hope for us in the modern world and reaching to millennials, Caleb, and communicating with younger people? Because I think this messy grace, which is just a gospel approach, I think it's got to be well received. It has to be.
It is. Not by everybody in the Christian
community. Sure.
Not by everybody in the LGBTQ community, but it has been well received by many people in both communities. And I think that really, as you said, it's a gospel-centered approach. But I think that when it comes to the Gen Z and the millennial generations, we think that, okay, if we, you know, the gospel never changes. God never changes. Scripture is always inspired. It's equally inspired. May not, you know, not every passage is equally applicable.
Right, right.
Like in 2 Chronicles, whole different radio show. But, you know, it's equal. But at the same time, our methods of how we get the gospel across are different. Just like a missionary has to think, how do I share and how do I build relationships in a different way
in this context? It's so important.
And so our context in society is always changing.
Yeah. Well, that's Paul. I become some, all things to all men, but that by God's grace I might win some.
And so that's why I say, Steve, and I think we talked about this on the way over here today to the studio, that we need to probably start shifting to have more of a Paul's approach to the Stoic philosophers in Acts 17, where he starts with teaching them, engaging them, getting them on the same page with him, even sharing scriptural principles without quoting scripture.
Right.
And then he gets to God and Jesus at the end of Acts 17, at the end of his sermon. It's kind of like how Jesus shared the gospel differently with Nicodemus than he did the woman at the well.
Yeah.
And so I think that shifting methodology does not mean progressive, liberal, or that we're giving up.
Amen.
It's strategic.
2 minutes left. The role of love. Definition of love. What should love look like in our lives? Because this is the center. We were talking about ethics earlier today in class, and the central component of Christian ethics is love. And people go, what? What?
Right.
What? But love. Let's just finish on that.
Yeah. I mean, Rabbi Zacharias says that love is the highest ethic. Jesus says the greatest commandment is to paraphrase, love God with everything, love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13, 8 through 10, Paul says that if you love your neighbor, you've kept the law. If you love your neighbor, you're basically keeping every
you're
single
fulfilling
command.
The law, yeah.
Jesus says, Matthew 5, 38 through 48, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. You know, John 3, 16, for God so loved the world. Love is the highest ethic.
Yeah.
Love sums it up. You cannot be mean to people and be loving. You cannot withhold the truth from people and be loving. But you can share the truth without being a jerk.
Yeah.
And you can be very intentional about building influence and understanding how they're best going to hear it so that you can share. Love is the word that sums up Christianity. And, I mean, so much so that in 1 John, doesn't John say, you know, God is love?
Love, yeah. And that's why you talked about this before. You know, what are we known for? Truth is easy to be on one side. I'm just going to be all truth. I'm just going to bang the truth all day. Or then grace on the other end. And you're like, well, I'm just going to be nice to everybody and cut everybody some slack. But both things have to exist at the same time. Jesus was full of both of them. And they operate equally and fully at the same time. That's the bar. That's what he did. That's what he showed us. And that's what we have to do, too. You'll learn more about that and see a great example of that with a rubber band tonight, if you can join us at Call to Worship, 7 p.m. here at RFA Church in Raleigh. If you're in the Raleigh area, it's right out Yonkers Road in 440. It's like central to the downtown, but you can, it's easy to get to. It's super easy. Go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com, or jump on Facebook and get to my Facebook page. All the information is there starting at 7 p.m. Caleb, thanks for being here, bro. Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad has always said, ever forward.